From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, music of the 60s. Here's what's happening. The Supreme Court has blocked the Biden administration from enforcing its sweeping vaccine or test requirements for large private companies, but allowed a vaccine mandate to stand for medical facilities that take Medicare or Medicaid payments. The ruling came 3 days after the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's emergency measure for businesses started to take effect. The mandate required that workers at businesses with 100 or more employees get vaccinated or submit a negative COVID test weekly to enter the workplace. It also required unvaccinated workers to wear masks indoors at work. That seems to all be struck down. We'll see what happens. As a record number of Americans are infected with COVID-19, largely due to the rapidly spreading Omicron variant, some state health care systems are beset with nearly full intensive care units. 19 states have less than 15% remaining capacity in their hospitals. Four of them have less than 10%, Kentucky, Alabama, Indiana, New Hampshire, according to data. The other states are Arizona, Delaware, Georgia, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Missouri, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Texas, and Vermont as well. President Biden has announced that his administration would make high-quality masks available to Americans absolutely free as the U.S. continues to struggle to contain the new surge of the Omicron variant and hospitalizations from COVID-19 reach new highs. Christian Wild, author of Miracle Stem Cell Heart Repair, and heads up the MyHeartBook.com website, is with us. Christian, is this thing going to go away or not?
Well, George, you know I'm always searching the news for any sign of decline in the impact of this virus and its variants. But unfortunately, as you know, there hasn't been much favorable news to report, with the exception of a new study out of the UK today that I don't quite know how to what to make of it. But what they learned was that within minutes, 90% of the COVID virus dissipates in the open air, probably why we do better to dine and visit outdoors. Now, this is pretty interesting, George. Daily case reports have been falling rapidly around D.C., Cleveland, Newark, and each of which had experienced record-shattering spikes over the past month. Now, these are different states and cities than you just mentioned. Major newspapers have also reported early favorable signs in Chicago, New York, Puerto Rico, and hard-hit vacation towns in Colorado, where cases were literally hitting a plateau or starting to drop. Now, the slowing of the spread in those places raised the prospect that a national peak in the Omicron wave may be approaching.
Good.
Is that just wishful thinking, George? Because so much of the country has continued to see explosive growth in the virus cases, with some western and southern states reporting 400% increases over the past 2 weeks. So what can we believe? We hear it from one side to the other. And in spite of these positive comments concerning a possible decline, there are also reporters predicting a large-scale tidal wave ahead of us as new variants keep appearing.
Well, one of the things I think, Christian, as the flu season begins to wane, you're going to see these cases begin to drop around March. That's my guess. The man convicted of assassinating Robert F. Kennedy was denied parole by California's governor. The 77-year-old Sirhan Sirhan won a parole hearing back in August, you might remember, of last year. But that decision required Governor Gavin Newsom to sign off on it before he was set free. And he decided he was not. And he has reversed Sirhan's parole grant. Parole for Sirhan. Sirhan has denied. He stays in jail. Russia has sharply raised the stakes in its dispute with the West over the Ukraine, with a top diplomat refusing to rule out a Russian military deployment to Cuba or Venezuela if tensions with the United States continue. My gosh. President Biden's plummeting standing with Americans remains firmly in negative territory as the new year gets underway. The president's approval rating stands at just 33% and disapproval at 53% among Americans in a national poll. Wholesale prices rose as the fastest pace on record in December. Almost 10% increase. My gosh. Student leader Navient has announced that it has canceled over $1.7 billion in student loans as part of an agreement to settle ongoing litigation with various states' attorney generals. How about that? And what else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Kevin Randall, our friend. Kevin, what do you have for us?
Well, good evening, George.
Hi there.
First, I've got an update from the video that was shot from the airliner on January 3rd that I mentioned last week.
Yeah.
A few people have suggested that the lights or the object are reflections, which I wondered about as well. However, I will note that the captain also saw the lights, and it seemed to me that if it was some sort of reflection, he would have been able to identify it. A passenger might have been fooled, but the captain should have known better. While we have a possible solution, more work needs to be done before we write this thing off completely. I was beginning a survey of the failure of cell phone cameras when I found this. On December 4th of last year, the witness in Mission, Kansas, while driving, saw two green lights above a storage facility. The lights were on a triangular-shaped craft, which was nearly as dark as the sky. The craft passed overhead, and the witness stopped to get a better look at it. Now only a single red light was visible on the rear of the craft. Here's the important point. The witness tried to call his brother, but the cell phone kept dropping the call. The witness said, and I quote, "I usually wouldn't have thought of it, but decided to report that detail as technological disruption sometimes accompany UAP sightings," end quote. That was, of course, the whole point of my survey, though it wasn't a cell phone camera failure, but it was a failure of the cell phone. On April 20th, 2020, the witness said that he, his wife, and children were outside in Medical Lake, Washington, looking for frogs. He said that his wife looked up and noticed a single light that, as soon as they saw it, they realized it was actually three lights on a huge triangular moving object. As it passed over them, a car alarm went off and the UFO disappeared. The witness said that his son was recording the incident the whole time, but was only able to get an audio track, which seems to be one of the ways cell phone cameras fail during UFO sightings. These events seem to be somewhat reminiscent of the Levelland sightings of November of 1957. In a sighting reported on June 9th of 2020, the witness in Mud Lake, Idaho, reported his car started to act up as if it was running out of gas. He said he looked at the gas gauge and then back at the road. There was a squadron of what he said was 20 to 30 disc-shaped craft overhead. He stopped, got out of the car, and then worried that something might happen to him, so he got back in his car. As he looked to the left, he saw another craft described as huge, long, and white. He couldn't tell if it was in flight, but the formation of UFOs flew in clockwise circles near it. Clockwise tripped me up there. Finally, from Fort Stockton, Texas, the witness said he, his brother, and a friend were playing on a porch with their Xbox when they were children about 15 years ago. He spotted a black triangle and pointed it out to the others. He said there were three white circles on the corners, and on the side were two rows of little lights that seemed to change color in sequence. The friend's computer then turned itself off, and the power failed. A car was coming down the road, and it, too, lost power. When they saw that, they all went inside, but none of the light switches worked. After a minute or two, they went back outside, but the UFO was gone. At that point, the power came back on, and the car started, though it was unclear if the driver started it or it came on spontaneously. Although there was only one report here with cell phone camera failure, there are a number of other instances in which the UFO did interact with the environment to some extent. And that's relatively uncommon, but it has been reported over the years. And that's what I have for tonight, George.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Kevin Randall reporting on weekly UFO activity. Up next, Scott Mitchell back with us. Fallen Angels, ETs. What does that all mean to us? Find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We've got a great program for you in store tonight. Scott Mitchell back with us, a Bible teacher and host of Bible Mysteries podcast. Scott has been a student of the Bible, Bible history, Bible mysteries for more than 40 years. His career has spanned music, legal support, technology. He has pastored a Bible church in Texas, founder of the Unlock the Bible Now ministry. And after years of study, Scott found the key to unlocking the secrets in the Bible. And armed with a series of passages, he was able to decipher a couple incredible stories. His videos include The Red Pill, The Dark Secret. Scott, welcome back. How are you?
I couldn't be better, George, and great to be back with you. Good morning.
You too, my friend, indeed. Everything fine COVID-wise, your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I've stayed remarkably healthy through all this stuff, and I take a lot of zinc and vitamin D. And, you know,
me too.
Doing the things that common sense tells you to do.
Yep, absolutely. So, fallen angels and ETs, tell us the mix.
Yeah, I really think that we're starting to see more of an exposure of this because, as you know and your listeners surely know, there's becoming more evident that these things are not just imaginations of people. There's radar footage, there's actual military footage of these vessels that we know are actually out there. So we can't just dismiss this as people's imagination. So the technology exists, we know it's there, and I don't believe it's from us. I don't believe it's our own secret weaponry, although we certainly have secret military weapons, but it's the military that doesn't know what this is. So I would suggest they've been around for centuries, that they this technology is literally from the angels. And the rebellious angels in particular are the ones that have a malevolent intent because they've been after gaining or regaining control of the earth for thousands of years.
Is there a great deception underway here, Scott?
I really think there is. You can look. The Bible I use as a barometer from history, and you know, there's a passage in Ezekiel that says, "There's nothing new under the sun; that which shall be has already been before." So we learn from history if we will let it teach us, and we can learn from the history of the Bible that there have been global attempts at controlling the planet from. There was an Assyrian Nephilim, a hybrid human giant in the Garden of Eden that rose up above the rest in Ezekiel 31. There was an individual in Genesis chapter 10 named Nimrod who started the Babylon and the Tower of Babel. And in every case, we were talking about a global single government with a single dictator. I believe we're moving in that direction through the events that are happening in the world today, whether it be a pandemic, whether it be a war, whether it be fear-mongering and the collapse of economies. It's all really part of Agenda 2030 from the UN and the World Economic Forum, in my opinion.
So Satan just isn't giving up, is he?
He's not. He actually believes that he can win this battle. It's been going on for eons. Before God even made man, he basically created man for the earth, and he gave man dominion of the earth. The psalm says, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth is he given to the children of men. And it's interesting. People don't realize that, you know, Lucifer is a fallen angel. His rebellious angels that joined him, they're more powerful than us. Why don't they just come down and kill us all? Well, they can't. They're limited in their power. Otherwise, they would have just, you know, wiped us out long ago. So they operate through their human proxies in the same way that Cain slew his brother Abel. You know, Satan incited him to do that because he can't just come into the domain of men willy-nilly as he wants to. So he's got a plan to try to infiltrate humanity and gain the control of the title deed to the planet. And he's doing that through the satanic global elite that are pushing these agendas.
Scott, I'm beginning to hear a lot about the mark of the beast, much more than I have in recent years.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, looking at digital currency, they're looking at chips and all this. And, you know, I keep thinking of the book of Revelation where they say, you know, without the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to basically exist in society. How close are we to this thing?
I think we are so close, and I'll give you a reason for my thinking about the timing of it in the years. But for now, just looking around at the issues, we can see almost a means test of something like the mark of the beast in the requirements and the mandates and the vaccines and the unvaxxed and things like that. It's almost as though they're means testing a way to ostracize or other those who don't comply And eventually, they're not going to be able to get jobs. They're not going to be able to enter establishments or go to restaurants or whatever. And if we move to a completely digital currency, it'll be controlled to the point where you won't be able to survive, just like you said.
Well, it's scary times ahead. But can we survive it?
Well, the only survival is going to be in the Lord coming back to defeat this enemy, which the Bible says he will. So it's really a matter, in my opinion, of picking sides. You know, we're either going to choose the side of the creator or the side of the created being that thinks he can be the creator. And I can tell you right now, that one's not going to end well for the one who thinks he can be God.
Yeah, I'd rather be on the side of the creator myself.
I'm with you there.
That's a better bet, isn't it?
It's a much better bet, because when we read in the Bible what's actually going to happen when he does come back with his army of angels to destroy these the kings and the rulers of the earth in confederation with Satan and his fallen angels, it does not look good for them at all.
Many people are beginning to believe my original theory, and that was that COVID was concocted in a lab in Wuhan, China. And whether it was released intentionally or accidental, I don't know. But I do believe it was created. What's your thoughts on that? And could that be part of this plan?
I absolutely believe it was created, or at least intentionally designed, for a bioweapon, because depopulation would appear to be part of this plan, too. If it's about control and ultimately getting to a point where there's a single government and we get rid of the nation state, we get rid of individual governments and individual liberty, then everything is going to center around a satanic cabal of corporate oligarchs, which is already in place. We just haven't formalized it yet. And they will eventually, once they receive all this power, because they're going to receive all property eventually, once they transfer the wealth to themselves, then they will submit their power to this individual we call the beast, who's going to be some form of a human Nephilim hybrid that's going to ultimately rise to be the person or thing that the world worships, and they'll be taking his mark that don't join the side of the creator.
Many of the wealthy on this planet, they're not all evil, are they?
No, they're not. And there's a huge difference between the wealthy and the ones that are the wealthy united with Satan. For example, let's say you build a better mousetrap and makes you a millionaire because you have a superior product. Well, you might, you know, improve your situation, get a better house, a better car, whatever, but you also might turn around and support needy causes and help charities and do good things. There's plenty of rich people that do that. You know, we think of sports personalities that get paid extremely well for what they do, but they support a lot of social justice causes and things that are good. But we're talking about people on the order of Rothschilds and whatever that have trillions of control of so much money they can basically manipulate governments. And their intentions are sinister, because when you have that much money, the only thing left for you is power. And that power, they believe, is going to be found in through aligning with Satan. And ultimately, what these people are looking for is eternal life without the Lord, through AI and through genetic manipulation.
Scott Mitchell with us. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. It is utbnow.com. What's that stand for, Scott?
UTB Now is short for Unlock the Bible Now.
All right, very good. How did you get involved in all of this in the first place?
Well, years ago, I began to search scriptures just as a student of the Bible, attending Bible classes. And when I found out that there was the Bible was written in such a way as to hide the truth from basically Lucifer and his angels and those that don't believe. And the picture of that is in when Jesus Christ began to speak in parables. You know, people sometimes in churches teach that he spoke in parables to illustrate the point. He didn't. He spoke openly up until a point at which some Pharisees accused him of casting out devils by the power of a devil. And at that point, he lectured them about blasphemy. And from that point forward, he began to speak in parables. And after he finished his first parable, the disciples said, "Why are you talking in parables?" in Matthew 13. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And them were those who rejected him and didn't believe.
Scott, we're going to take a little break and come right back and talk more about your incredible work with ETs and fallen angels. Next hour, of course, we'll take phone calls with Scott Mitchell right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Scott Mitchell. Scott, this plan, this deception of hiding as ETs, how did they even concoct something like that?
Well, I think it's been that way for a long time. A lot of ancient astronaut theorists and people that talk about this kind of thing think that when men saw angels, what they actually saw were ETs. And I take the opposite approach. The ETs are fallen angels. They have appeared in whatever guise they felt like they needed to for the culture and time as gods like the Anunnaki or whatever in the ancient past. And so what's coming up is going to be, I believe, they're going to claim to be ETs with superior technology. And most likely the deception is going to be, we seeded humanity with our DNA millions of years ago, whatever, and you are our offspring, so that we can accept what they're going to offer, which is the ability to go to the next phase of human evolution. They're going to offer us to take a mark, and the mark is probably going to be something that will enable a person to be like a god, live forever, live young, the fountain of youth type thing. And in fact, it's going to change and alter the DNA of humanity to be something of a hybrid, and those are going to be the ones that are less essentially marked for destruction when the Lord comes back.
Tell us about this satanic global elite. Tell me about how this was formed, how long it's been around, and what its plan.
Exactly. There's always been a group of individuals who control others and are basically worship the gods, Satan, the host of heaven, whatever. And even Christ himself, when he dealt with resistance from the religious system of his day, those religious leaders that were arrogant and pious, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." So there's always been, even for thousands of years, an alignment of those who have power over others because Satan offers them that. It's the old, sell me your soul kind of thing, except he had the power delivered to him, Satan did, from those human beings that gained control. In Christ's day, it was the Roman Empire. Today, it's going to be the satanic global elite. 10 kings will arise from this group that will ultimately control all the wealth. And that's what AI and digital currency transfer is working towards. Once they control all the wealth, they basically control the title deed to planet Earth, and they could surrender it or give it to the one who wants control of this planet, which is Lucifer.
Scott, you talk about this a lot. You teach it. What do your followers think about this theory?
This is becoming so refreshing and popular for people. I mean, I'm on a lot of other shows as well, like Conflict Radio, my own podcast, the Weird Christian Podcast. This is being discussed by a lot of people because it's starting to make sense. I'm finding other authors, and you've had other guests on the same, like Ryan Peterson and Timothy Alberino. They're writing books about this. We approach it from different angles, but ultimately we're revealing the same thing, that we're appear to be going into the end times and a convergence of this ET-type phenomenon and Satan and his fallen angels with this control of the human population seems to be coming together, so that it seems to be pointing to the timing of things is very soon.
Well, absolutely. It's now, tell us about the world in chaos. We seem to have that at a record-setting pace right now. Is it something they enjoy, having a chaotic planet?
I think they do, because their belief is order out of chaos. They create the chaos, then create the solution to the chaos, which always enables them with more power. So their whole belief system is that if they can create the crisis and then they present It's the Hegelian dialectic thing. They create the solution, then we surrender more liberty, more control to them, and ultimately they'll gain what they're after, which is total control, back to the Tower of Babel, back to a one-world government, and ultimately surrender that power to the one who's going to come and claim to be God and the dictator of all the earth, which is that anti-Christ character the Bible talks about.
Well, what do you think of end times prophecy, Scott?
Yeah, I think we're close because here's where I'm approaching this now, and this is not something I can prove, but it's something I believe could be true. There's a verse in the New Testament in 2 Peter that says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And I apply that as a potential formula for understanding prophecy. So we can equate a day with 1,000 years. Well, there's an Old Testament passage in the book of Hosea that talks about the nation Israel. And Israel was God's people until they rejected him and he hid his face from them for a time. But he's going to restore them in the future. So there's a verse in Hosea 6 that says that, come, let us return to the Lord. And it's like Israel responding to God. And they're saying, for he hath smitten us and he will heal us. After 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up. So if I say, okay, what if the 2 days was the 2,000 years of Peter, 2 Peter, then if we take the, and I realize it's a Julian calendar now and not the Hebrew calendar, but if we just go on the basis of what we know, Jesus was crucified and rejected by the nation that he went to in 33 A.D. So 2,000 years later would be 2033. We're not too far away from that. And if Agenda 2030 or the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum is any indication, their plan is to bring about this global control of everything. You won't own anything. You'll be happy about it, according to Klaus Schwab. These maniacs actually think that they can do this. So it's very possible that Agenda 2030, if that year is significant to them, the satanic global elite, then maybe that's the middle of the 7 years of tribulation of the Bible. And if Christ is going to come back in 2033, and we don't know that he will, but if we're speculating, then that would be the middle of the week, 2030. That could be the day or the timing of the Antichrist rising to power and claiming he's God, and it would be the so-called three and a half division of the 7 years of tribulation. So I think there's some plausibility to it.
You call this the satanic global elite, the SGE. Are they winning as of now?
They really are, because I think if anything, this pandemic proved that the world is ready. They're manipulated easily by fear. They're controlled easily by disinformation. People don't know how to think anymore. They've been conditioned on what to think. And while it's not true of every individual, and there's going to be pockets of those that don't fall for it, for the most part, the mass of humanity has fallen for this. And I think they're going to continue to fall for it because the deception's only going to get stronger.
Thank God for the Supreme Court today, which knocked down the Biden mandates. I'm not opposed to vaccines at all, Scott. I am opposed to mandating to people who don't want to do it.
I feel the same way. It's your health. It's your decision to make. And, yeah, we're going to continue to have little victories here and there. I think this was a victory, and I'm thankful for that. I thank God for it, too. But I do believe ultimately where this is heading is we're going to go into that time when the Lord is going to have to come back and intervene, and he will.
Indeed. Now, let's talk more about the Mark of the Beast. How do you think they're going to ease that into us? I mean, will it come in the form of a chip? Will it come in the form of something digital? What do you think it is?
Yeah, it's interesting because the scriptures do say that the mark is in the forehead and in the hand. So it seems to be something that's either implantable. And I think what's really interesting is at some point one of the plagues of the book of Revelation is a boil or a blemish or some kind of horrible disfiguring type of disease that falls only on the human beings that have taken the mark of the beast. So evidently there is something genetically changed about those that take this mark. So it's possible it could even be an injection, and the injection site is in the hand or in the forehead. Now, I want to be clear to your listeners, I don't believe the current vaccines are the mark of the beast, and I want everybody to know that. I do not think it is. If it were, we would already be in those end times, and I don't think we're there yet.
Do you think Lucifer is dancing in the clouds right now?
I'm not sure what he's thinking about that. He's definitely,
Or in the fire, wherever he is.
Yeah. Well, that's a common misconception. People think the devil's in hell waiting for him with a pitchfork. He's destined to go there, too. He doesn't want to be in hell. That's a terrible place. You know, the hell was created for the devil and his angels. So it's not like they want to go there. That's going to be their ultimate destination. So he is called the Prince of the Power of the Air. He's out there in the starry heavens and probably behind a lot of what we're calling UFOs today.
What if Lucifer went to God and said, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake, I'd like to renounce all of this and be on your side? What would happen?
He had that opportunity, but he didn't take it. As a matter of fact, I teach that in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, we see the creation of the heaven and the earth. The very next verse shows a earth submerged in water and covered in darkness, and it's without form and void. That was not how God started. That's what happened after this rebellion of angels took place. They would have had their opportunity to repent, so to speak. They did not. They waged a war. One-third of the angels rebelled against God and his angels, and the resulting chaos was the destruction and divine judgment of the planet. That was the first flood. Noah's flood was the second.
What is this two-day mystery in the Bible that hints about the Antichrist?
That's the one we were discussing about the 2 days in Hosea and the 2,000 years in 2 Peter. That is where I'm applying it as a possible way to read these end times and the timing of things. You know, Christ said himself that no man knows the day or the hour when he's going
right
to return. But we're using that as a possibility of guessing, engaging the year, and tying that into Agenda 2030.
They have said, Scott, that almost every generation, every culture has believed that they were in end times. What makes us any different?
You know, I ask myself that all the time, and you're right. It's been historically, they thought it was World War II and Hitler was the Antichrist, you know, and there's been any number of others that have thought the same way. And so I could just be another guy that's off on my timing, and it doesn't make the Bible wrong. It just makes me wrong. But I think that when I look at everything coalescing together and the way humanity is going, this is different. You know, this is on a global scale. When you look at the restrictions that are happening to countries like Australia, where they're literally building COVID internment camps for the unvaccinated and things like that, when you see the way liberty is being eroded so quickly, and this massive transfer of wealth from 80% of humanity to the top 1% now under their control, there's never been anything like this in history. So I believe it's coming to, well, I say that it has been in history, but it's been back in the times of the Bible talks about in Ezekiel 31, an Assyrian in the Garden of God, and he seems to be a Nephilim hybrid that rose to power and controlled all the nations. And then we saw Nimrod at the Tower of Babel, and in both instances, God intervened himself with either the flood of Noah or the confusion and dividing of the nations at the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. So it seems to me if we're reaching that level again of that kind of globalist control, God's about to intervene again.
Isn't it amazing, Scott, how this unfolds?
Hey, yes, it is quite amazing. And the types in the Bible are what's so amazing about it. You can literally see almost the blueprint of what's coming in what has already happened historically.
Tell us about your podcast.
Bible Mysteries. It's available on any app you can download. We've gone to video now as well, so we have a YouTube channel. And Zena, my co-host, and I, in fact, we just recorded 2 episodes tonight that'll be released each Monday. We record a new episode, and we're going to be talking about Agenda 2030 in the next 2-part series. You can find out all about us at utbnow.com if you want to know where our links are to all the other things that we do, and that's the easy one to remember, just utbnow.com.
We're going to take calls next hour with Scott Mitchell, so jump on board as we talk about biblical prophecy, end times. What do you think, Scott, is probably the most pressing danger for humanity today?
I think it's the control of media right now. There used to be a time when there were real journalists. We don't have journalists anymore, at least not in the mainstream. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, censoring and controlling everything that doesn't fit their narrative. That is such a dangerous precedent. I never dreamed I would live to see a day when people would be censored in America like they're being censored now. And the ones who are being censored are the ones that are trying to make sense and trying to speak truth, whether they're medical experts, whether they're scientific experts, Bible experts, it doesn't matter. They're being shut down systematically by the control that I believe the CIA has over all American media and some counterpart of it in the rest of the world. It's like Pravda now. Everything is a propaganda arm. The news, it's the government is telling them what to say, what to speak, and it's all to control and deceive the masses.
Not all of it, though, Scotty. Listen to me.
That's right. Thank God for you, George, and Coast to Coast and all those out there that are actually digging. To me, this is the best investigative journalism on the planet is you guys.
If I ever go on the radio and say Lucifer is good, you know they got to me, right?
That's right.
That'll never happen. We're going to take calls with you, Scott, next hour. They're lining up already to chat with you about just about all these strange things we're talking about. But you do see a way out for us, don't you?
I do. The hope is that if people will, like I said, join the side of the Creator, having a relationship with God through His Son is the answer. Because in that respect, the global elites that are looking for eternal life through a cheating way, through a satanic intervention, through genetic manipulation or AI, they're doing it because they don't want to turn to the Creator and have a relationship with Him where He offers eternal life through His Son freely as a gift if we would just receive it.
All right, we're going to come back and take those calls next on Coast to Coast AM.